Awesome. Awesome. Wow. Woo. This is unbelievable. Hey, congratulations to all of you. Congratulations to all the new achievers. Well, grab a seat. Let's get started. I got some exciting things to share with y'all. Can you believe all the recognition? Can you believe the growth? This is awesome. Wow. Well, this is a huge, huge honor for me to be up here, and God is good. I mean, I got to give God the credit here for new beginnings. My topic today is dream building, so I guess it is fairly appropriate, isn't it? Dreams do come true. So let's talk about dream building. Let's talk about the power of the dream. Isn't it so natural as a child when we all dream built? Like I remember as a kid playing football with my buddies, and I wasn't Chuck Getchell playing football. I was Kenny Stabler, the quarterback of the Raiders in the 70s, right? I was Fred Biletnikoff catching that pass on the tips of my fingers. I know I'm dating myself. You're like, who? Whatever. But I was always achieving the great thing, right? How many times as a kid did you play the game and fantasize of failing? Right? Well, you just didn't do that. It was like, man, I dream of winning this touchdown, you know, winning the Super Bowl, shooting the final shot and you know, in the final four or whatever it was. We are so able to dream as kids. Ask any little kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? We really should say, what do you want to do? Because being and doing, but that's another story. But what do you want to be when you grow up? And they don't go, I don't know. I love asking little kids that. I mean, you get the greatest answers, don't you? Well, I'm going to be the first guy to fly to Venus, you know. I'm going to be a fireman. I'm going to be an astronaut. They'll rattle it off. Have you ever sat down your child on Santa's lap and he says, what do you want for Christmas? And he goes, oh, I think I pretty much got everything I want. I don't think you hear that response, right? I mean, kids can dream. It's like, man, dreaming is not a problem. The problem is help them understand why they don't need that right now, that they should maybe work for it or something. But at any rate, as a child, we dream, and it's healthy, and it's good, and it's great. And then we start growing up. And as we start growing up, we start failing. We start not achieving the things that we thought we were going to achieve, and life struggles hit us. You know, I mean, we just go through, God, I didn't believe at this point in my life I would be living here, struggling financially this way, you know, doing these things. I mean, life is just grinding us down. You know, who would have thought? I was at the gas station the other day pumping up gas, and the first time I noticed that, I guess the pump only goes to $100 on your credit card, and then it stops. And I thought, you know, how funny it is, because we used to say to the attendant, fill it up. And that meant my gas tank, not my credit card, you know? It's like, how things change. And so you go through life and you're just so excited and dreaming you're going to conquer the world. And then as you grow up, it just seems like life just keeps beating you down and beating you down. And what starts happening is you start doubting yourself. You start doubting that you're really ever going to achieve any of these dreams. And because you doubt yourself so much, then you start the process of rationalization. And we've all heard rationalization. Rationalize is just rational lies, right? And you start telling these rational lies to yourself, like, well, who wants a big house anyways? I mean, really? Do you know the heating bill on one? Chris Brady's heating bill has to be obnoxious, you know? Glad I don't have that heating bill. Right, you start rationalizing. You don't want to travel. Do you know how dangerous it is to travel nowadays? They always lose your luggage, right? And some terrorist will capture you. So we just keep rationalizing, and a black Mercedes, please. I'm sure as soon as I get that black, someone's going to ding it, and then I'm going to be bummed out. So I'm not worried about my car getting dinged. So All right? It's a bunch of rational lies. And we're telling these to ourselves because we doubt the fact that we can ever have these things. And so we're trying to convince ourselves that we really don't want the dreams that we actually have in our heart. And what happens is you start going from doubting to rationalizing to a place called being comfortably numb. I don't know how many people remember the old Pink Floyd song. A few Pink Floyd fans, that's scary, that's good. But the lyrics are so perfect. The child is grown. The dream is dead. I am now comfortably numb. And how true that is, as we grow up, we just become comfortably numb. And the problem really is, all the voices that we heard as a child, all the negative stuff, the voices that were outside of our head as a child, they end up inside our head as we grow up. The parent that was rough saying, you're never going to amount to anything. You're never going to achieve anything. You're not going to do this. As a child, a parent would say something like that, and you could run to your room and shut the door and get away from that voice. But here's the scary thing. As you grow up, that voice is now inside your head. And there's nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to go. And as soon as you start trying to do something, you hear that same voice. Don't you remember? You're a loser. You're not going to achieve this. You're not worth it. You're not worthy. And that voice keeps going, and there's nowhere to hide. And it brings up every failure that you've ever had, and all the doubts get so huge. And you start realizing dreaming is just for children. The world is so full of people ready to say, you know, you should do this, you should be more responsible, you should get a real job, you should stop dreaming, you should this, you should that. That's why I tell people all the time, don't let people shit on you. Don't let people shit on you. All right? You've got the seeds of greatness in you, and you can achieve great things. Let's talk about dreaming. Dreaming takes a few things. Number one, dreaming takes courage. It takes courage to dream. Fear knocked at the door. Faith answered. Nobody was there. Right? Cicero, great Roman orator, said a man of courage is also full of faith. See, it takes courage. It takes faith to dream. It was December 1st, 1955, in Montgomery, Alabama. And a lady was coming home from work, and she got on a bus. You've all heard the story. Her name was Rosa Parks. She's often referred to as the mother of civil rights. She got on a bus that afternoon after a long day at work, and was told that because of the color of her skin, she needed to make space at the front of the bus for white people coming on, and she needed to move to the back. She refused to move to the back. And it began the civil rights movement. She was actually recently interviewed, and she said, and they asked her, they said, you know, a lot of people say that it really wasn't a decision on your part. You were just tired from a long day at work, and you're just too tired to get up and move. And I loved her quote. She said, no. She said, the only tired I was tired of giving in. I was just tired of giving in. See, Mike Murdoch said once that you cannot change those things that you're willing to tolerate. Rosa Parks was not willing to tolerate that kind of treatment anymore. She said, enough is enough. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired of this situation. And so she made a stand for herself. Actually, she made a seat for herself. But the question for you to say is, are you sick and tired of being sick and tired? Are you ready to make a change where you will stand up for your dreams? You will stand up for what you've always wanted your life to be? Are you ready? Are you excited about it? It was only 7.5 years later, on August 28th, 1963, in front of the Lincoln Memorial in Washington, D.C., where over 200,000 people gathered. all stemming from one lady saying, I was sick and tired of being pushed around and treated without dignity. And so over 200,000 people listened to the great Martin Luther King Jr. when he stood in front of the Lincoln Memorial and said, I have a plan. Oop, wait. That's not right, is it? I have a plan. We're going to change things, and here's how we're going to do it. Point number one. Point number two. Everyone taking good notes here? I've got a plan. That's not what he said, is it? No, he said, I have a dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Said, I have a dream that one day the Red Hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. He said, I have a dream that one day even the state of Mississippi, a sweltering state with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. He said, I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but rather by the content of their character. I have a dream. I have a dream. See, had Martin Luther King got up there and said, I have a plan, our whole nation would be dramatically different today. But because he was courageous enough, bold enough, fearless enough to stand in front of 200,000 people in Washington, D.C. and say, I have a dream. And he cast that dream and it stirred the nation. And the plans all followed. The details all followed. But they never would have followed had one man not stood such tenacity and shared the vision of his dream and captured the heart of a nation. That's what this is all about. Capturing a dream that stirs your soul. Not only does dreaming take courage, but dreaming takes effort. It takes effort. It is not easy. The real work of success, the true work of success. Somebody says, what is it really that I need to do to be successful? Or quite frankly in life, what is the true work that I really need to do? Here it is. It's choosing your focus. You can focus on life's struggles, or you can focus on your dream. You can focus on your vision. Oh, it sounds easy when we're talking from sage. Yeah, I'm going to focus on the dream. Are you? When life's struggles hit you, is it going to grab your attention? Or can you continue to refocus back on your dream and back on the vision? Kind of a corny saying, but quite profound actually, is life is like a camera. What you focus on, you will develop. It's really quite true. You're going to have challenges. You're going to meet with great people, and you're going to meet with people that you could have done without meeting. You're going to have challenges. You know, even coming out here, I was a little late to the meeting last Thursday night, to the leadership meeting we had, because I was so excited about being engaged on Thursday. We got engaged Thursday. I was so pumped up. And I'm just talking away, you know, and all of a sudden I look down and I'm out of gas. And, you know, I'm thinking, this is not building her confidence right now. We're in the middle of the desert. We're 60 miles between gas stations, either directions. We have no air conditioning because we have no gas. We're on the side of a road. Trucks are flying by, and I'm like, "Well, you picked a winner, baby." But I was so proud of Winnie because she's like, "Hey, if this is it, this is it. At least I'm with you." I'm like, all right, I owe you big time for this. But she chose to focus on the dream and not the challenge at the time. Here's a key question. Are you chasing a dream or are you just building a business? Because there's two differences. You meet with somebody and you start talking about the business and you might know your facts inside and out. And they might get all that information and there might be a great intellectual conversation. But nobody was moved. There was no stirring of the soul at all. Because you're just building a business. But let me tell you, my friends, when you're out there chasing a dream, you're out there chasing your freedom, you're like, we are not going to live like this anymore. We are going to change our life. I hope you see the dreams of all kinds of people. I hope you see the dreams of the people you're meeting with. When you're meeting with somebody, you're casting the dream of the future for yourself and so many people. Chase a dream. Now, this is difficult. It takes effort. Because for so many of us in the beginning, it's like, it's hard to dream. I remember my first mentor, Dan Williams, talking about, Chuck, you know, what is it that you want? You know, he's trying to open me up. And I'm thinking, I just want a car that starts without a prayer. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, baby, please. I really need you to start this morning, you know? I just wanted to get out of debt. So, I mean, why do these people call? I mean, I always want these bill clients, like, they call you, and I'm sure none of you have ever experienced this, so I'll share what happens. They call you and they ask you the most ridiculous question. What do they ask? Why haven't you paid us? I'm thinking, hey, you don't have to be real bright to work for these guys, right? Because I don't have the money, you know? Hello? I used to take all my bills, this is true, and just put them, you know, you get all these bills and you sit down and you look at them and you're like, I can't pay them. I just can't pay them. And so just, I would take them and I'd put them in a drawer and shut the drawer. It feels better. At least your desk is clean. You know? Oh yeah, I took care of that. That wasn't all that hard. And then once a month, I would stir them all up and I would pull out the lucky winner. You know? It's like a little mini lottery of my own. Chuck's lottery. And you know what I found is that the ones that I didn't draw, they were sore losers. They would call, you know. And that's where I learned posture, because I started to say, now listen, if you keep calling me like this, I'm going to take you out of the draw and you won't have any chance at all next month. You know? It's all about posture. Oh, but so he's sitting there, I'm like, damn, dream with me, Chuck. You know, what do you want? Don't you want to travel? You know, and I'm thinking, yeah, if I could go 45 minutes from Santa Barbara to Ventura and get to Costco, that would be awesome. But I don't know that my car would make that, you know, and that would be quite a trip. So there's a point where it's like chasing a dream. I just want to survive. And so I know that's where a lot of people are. And it's difficult. It's really difficult. But here's what happens. If you choose to focus on life struggles instead of choosing to focus on the dream, you're not going to have the energy to achieve the dream. See, so many people say, Chuck, I'm just wiped out. I'm exhausted. I know you're exhausted. The pressure of finances can absolutely squeeze every last drop of energy out of you. It is, you all know if you've ever been there, it is really hard. But the more you think about it, the more you engage on it, the less energy you have. The dream, I tell people all the time, and say, you don't lack energy, you lack a big dream. You lack a big dream. The hardest thing you can do is the best thing that you can do for yourself. When times are tough and you're struggling, you know what you want to do? Get out of that struggle and go do something that is exciting. Go. I have written in my journal, so frustrated. It was right in this time. I couldn't pay any of these bills and just trying to make things happen. And I just could. And so what did I do? I actually got out of my house and I went test drove a new car. It was the most absurd thing. I was actually sitting down with the BMW guy saying, look, there's no way I'm going to buy this right now, but I'll be back one day. And you know what? And it was just, let's just dream about how it could be. How could it be? Because you know what? I already know what it is, and it's draining the life out of me. So let's just forget about that and go focus on how it could be just for a little bit. And you know what? It works. Let me prove that point to you. If you wake up Monday morning, if you're not going to a place of work that you're real excited about, how do you feel typically when that alarm goes off Monday morning? Like, oh, you got snooze, right? Which is really, the people, I'll go there later, but that snooze button, it's like, you know, it's just like, anyway, crazy invention. You know, most people, you know what's one of the hardest things on your hearts? Is to wake up from a deep sleep from a very loud jolting noise. You know when most heart attacks happen? Monday morning. It's true. You can look it up. So this little device here called an alarm clock, which should be a clue there's something wrong when it's going off, right? That's why the name alarm. And if you survive the first alarm going off, you're like, oh, I made it. Hey, I'll try it again. Snooze, you know? It's like, so thrill seekers here, man. You wake up and you're tired, you're exhausted. You're like, oh, I got to get up, I got to get going. But what happens if the next day your alarm goes off because your family's getting up and racing the airport to go on a vacation to Hawaii? Are you hitting the snooze button that morning? Right? No way. What's the difference? Same person, same time. One is a vision of something glorious and wonderful, building a family memory, going to Hawaii. The other is something not so powerful, not so exciting. It's a struggle of life. So focus, focus, focus on the dream, not the life's struggles. Let me give you three quick steps of dream building here. Three quick steps. Number one, visualize it. First step of dream building, visualize it. This is what we did as kids all the time. We're daydreamers. Visualizing it. You got to see it before you'll see it. You got to see it before you'll see it. You're never going to see it if you're not visualizing it first. And this is where some people call it meditate. You know, meditate on. A lot of people don't like that word. Like, but it's actually a very meditate. Meditate just means focusing on something. Think about something from all directions over and over and over. A lot of people are like, I'm not into meditating. Do you worry? That's a form of meditation. You've probably done that quite well. So visualize it. Here's where people stop already. The first step of dream building, most people stop because why? It's frustrating. It's painful. That's why we say it takes courage. It takes effort. Why would I want to sit here? I remember talking to my mentor, Dan Williams. Why would I even want to entertain a life that I can't have? It's frustrating. Why would I want to go check something out? It's a waste of time and it's frustrating. I'm totally irritated. Does anybody relate to this? Like, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I would agree with that. You shouldn't do it if there's never going to be a way in which you could achieve it. But God doesn't put dreams in people's hearts without an ability to also make them come true. That's my personal opinion. You might need to stay the course, and it may look a little different, but eventually you'll get there. The whole idea here, and this is kind of crazy, is we want everyone to create a frustration gap. Yes, you're going to get frustrated. That's the point. Now do something about it. The second step after you visualize it is to make it physical. So first you see it, then you make it physical. What do you mean make it physical? Experience it. If it's something physical, if you're looking for a bigger home for your family, so all the kids can have their own bedroom, whatever it is, go look at homes, go walk through homes, go experience it. Maybe you're dreaming of just being free and just experience what would a day in the life be like? What time would we wake up? What would we do for breakfast? What would we do in the first part of the day? I mean, so experience it. Affirm it. Make it physical by writing it down on paper. Read it regularly. What would be the ideal life for you? Start affirming it, reading it, affirming it. Create a dream board. Sounds so silly, but I could tell you story after story after story of people who took the time to design the life that they would like to be living, cutting out pictures, putting them up on a board, looking at it, dreaming about it. And it's amazing how those things that you focus on tend to come towards you or you towards it. Create a dream board. Just make it physical, any way, shape, or form that you can. And finally, make it emotional. Make it emotional. Feel it. Feel the emotion of your dream. If you share your dream and you don't get emotional, you're not in touch with the real dream. You are not in touch with a real dream. Here's how you get in touch with a real dream. When you say, I would like this, ask yourself one question. Why? Why would you like that? And you say, well, because it would be really fun to have a home like that. Why? Well, because, and just keep asking why, and get down to the real root of why you want that dream. Because it's not the thing that you're truly dreaming about, it's the feeling that you're going to receive from it. It's the emotion that comes from it. Let me move on to my last point, and I'll tie it all together. Not only does dreaming take courage, not only does dreaming take effort, but dreaming comes with responsibility. It comes with responsibility. And I believe that we're responsible to two different things here. Number one, I believe personally, we're responsible to our Maker to make sure that our dreams align with His will. Now hear me out on this. Because we say you can achieve anything. I absolutely believe that, particularly when it's in alignment with His will. You ask why you want something and see what the root issue is that you're looking for. If you say, well, I want to have this new car. Why? Because it's cool. Well, why is that important to you? Well, because then people would look at me as somebody. Oh, why is that important? Well, because I'd feel worthy. Well, then you really don't want the car. You want self-worth, and perhaps what we should do is start looking in more appropriate ways to create self-worth. You understand what I'm saying? It's important that you don't confuse your dreams with things that are deeper that way. If you're looking for self-respect and you plan on getting a new house and a new car and talking about your travels to get respect from somebody, you're looking for self-respect the wrong way. There is nothing wrong with dreaming. There's no bad money. People, money's the root of all evil. We've all understood. No, the root of money's all evil. Money is not good or bad. I've never seen a $20 bill just jump off of a table here and smack someone in the head. That would be bad money. Okay? No. A hammer can be used to build a cathedral, and it can be used to murder somebody. A hammer's not good or bad. Money's not good or bad. It's the hand that grabs it and what it's doing with it. So check your motive behind what your dream is. That's all I'm saying. If we can make sure that we check our motives. Why is it that you want what you want? Check your motives and make sure they're in alignment with His will and the principles that you believe in. Are you looking to create family memories? Are you looking just to have some fun? That's great. Are you looking to have more comfort in your life? That's wonderful. There's nothing wrong with those things. Those are great things. Don't you want your children to have fun and be comfortable and all that? Of course you do. There's nothing wrong with any of that. But if you're looking to buy self-respect or buy self-worth or something along those lines, I challenge you to really look a little bit deeper on the ways in which we can attack those issues. Here's a good test for you. If your dreams were taken away, and I have some personal experience with this, if you lose what you've had, are you grateful for the time that you had them? Or did you just lose your identity? Because if you just lost your identity, then those things became idols in your life. Those things were being used for the wrong reasons. We have a responsibility to check our motives behind our dreams. We also have a responsibility to other people. If you are blessed, be a blessing. If you are blessed, be a blessing. This is why I love Monavie so much, because what it stands for. Yes, what's in that bottle is the great dreams and visions that you could have and achieve in your life. But it's also about being a blessing for other people. You guys understand what's happening down there? You understand how people are living down there? In one square mile, over 100,000 people live. In one square mile. Most of them have dirt floors. Most of them, when it rains outside, it rains inside their home because their roofs are just tattered. When the wind blows, their roofs fly off and everybody scrambles to find some material that they can get to patch their roofs back up. Many of them don't have any running water, and the ones that do, it's coming through pipes that are so broken up. They've got all kinds of sewage and various things flowing through those pipes and coming straight out into the water that they're cooking with and bathing with and drinking. Most of those people, many of which are single moms with many kids, and the only income they have is approximately $30 that's given to them by the government every single month. $30. And the cost of living is not that different down there than it is up here. Could you imagine being a single mom with multiple kids living in a shack of a place with water like that? Most of them don't have toilets. They use buckets. I know this is disgusting, but it's reality. They use buckets and they dump it out into the rivers, which is where the water source is coming from, right back into their house. And you've got $30 to take care of your family that month. This is real. They know when the garbage is going to be dumped and everybody scrambles to the garbage dump so that you can get half a scrap of banana to bring back for your kids to eat. This is real. And while we dream about our motor coaches and our mansions and our this and our that, which is great, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I hope that you're moving on to make a great difference for your family and enjoy all the blessings that you can have. It's wonderful to dream. But while you dream, you also should realize yourself. Did I just shit on you? I would encourage you to consider. I'd encourage you to consider those people. Those people who are not dreaming. They're not dreaming about a new motor coach. They're not dreaming about a new plane. They're dreaming about a scrap of a banana peel, for crying out loud. They're trying to survive. They're trying to live. We have a responsibility to those people. If you're blessed, be a blessing. And I would even turn that around and say, you know what? You want to be blessed? Be a blessing first. Be a blessing first. It's wonderful to dream. Yet let's dream with the world, not just with our own families. There's a couple here today, Josh and Mary Sheard. Wonderful dear friends. They just flew in just a couple days ago from Haiti. They've been working for a long time to adopt a son in Haiti. His name's Kinley. It's a beautiful 3-year-old orphan. And the first time they went out there to Haiti, and they picked up their soon-to-be son, Kinley, and they took him out to eat. He kept eating and eating and eating. And they're like, wow, this boy can eat. You know, kept eating and eating. And all of a sudden they realized he was trying to put more food in his mouth, and literally food was coming out as he was trying to put more in this little beautiful 3-year-old little boy. And what was happening is the food literally filled his stomach and was literally, he's almost choking on it as it was coming back up his esophagus. He was so full. But he instinctually, he didn't know when he was going to be able to eat again. So he was just putting food in his mouth instinctually as a survival instinct to try to survive. And they looked at this and went, this beautiful boy, look, he's just fighting to survive. He should not have to live this way. And they're doing everything they can to adopt this boy. They love this boy. He's a beautiful boy. And he's going to have a beautiful life because people care. People love. People are stretching themselves to make a difference. So quite frankly, if I can be bold enough, I would say, not only does dreaming come with responsibility, but I would say we have a responsibility to dream. I cannot handle meeting somebody that says, well, I'm just comfortable. I'm just comfortable. Got everything I want. Well, fantastic. First of all, I know they're probably comfortably numb is the reality of it. They're too fearful, right, to truly go after their dreams, and perhaps there's a purpose in their life that they're not going after, but that's a whole other subject. But here's the part that gets me. I'm happy for you. I'm happy you're so comfortable. I'm happy you're so content in your little part of the world that you can sit there and do nothing. While other people are scrambling for pieces of banana peel or stuffing their little 3-year-old mouth trying to survive on a daily basis. You're comfortable. You don't want to dream. And all that goes through my head is one word: selfish. selfish. I'm sorry, but that's just flat out selfish. Lucky for you, you are born in this country. Lucky for you, you're able to raise yourself up and live in a great position. Lucky for you that you are so fortunate to be in a place where we have free enterprise, change our lives, and lucky for you, all that opportunity is all around you. But we have a responsibility to get off our rear end. And if you need a dream about something like a black Mercedes, whatever it is, to get you moving so that you can achieve something, so that you can go help other people more, then so be it. Let's get the job done. Let's go make a difference in this world, for crying out loud. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Dream for the right motives, obviously, but dream to make a difference. Know that there's Kinleys all over this world. Know that there's people that aren't born in your country with your opportunities, and they're sitting there day to day trying to survive. It might not be your passion, but doggone it, you know what? It's not their passion to be in their position either. Let's be something spectacular. So my challenge to you is this. Have courage, obviously. Have courage to dream. It's scary. It's fearful. It's frustrating. Have the courage. Be ready to put out the effort. Your brain is going to shift you on to life's struggles and problems. And you've got to say, no, no, if I go there, life will be sucked out of me and I'll end up achieving nothing. I must shift back to the dreams and the visions that God's put inside of me. And then take the responsibility to do something great with your life. And it all starts, it all, always, all starts with a dream. And I've got a big dream. Do you have a big dream? Do you have a big dream?